The inspired penman of the 119th Psalm wrote, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart.
They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways.
Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently.
Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes.
Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments.
I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." My name is Terrence Brownlow Dindy, and welcome to His Righteous Judgments. Friends, thank you for joining us on His Righteous Judgments. Today, our exploration of the scriptures will take us into the fascinating book of Daniel. You know, of the multitude of holy scriptures that speak to the sovereignty of the Almighty God of heaven, there's certainly no greater commentary that exists in the beloved and blessed book of Daniel. In the expanse of 12 chapters, the history and prophecy of Daniel provides a profound testimony regarding the sovereign nature of our glorious God. We hope you enjoy this study. The book of Daniel, what a magnificent component of the inspired word of God. I certainly love the book of Daniel. It's one that's very near and dear to me. I study the book of Daniel. Friends, I fall in love with every principle that you find in the book, every life lesson that you see there. I love the fact that it's a book that is wrought full of history. I'm a history fanatic myself. We learn about world empires and kingdoms, and the most beautiful thing about the book of Daniel is that these events were prophesied in the book long before they ever took shape or took place. It's a wonderful book. It's a magnificent book. For over 2,500 years, Daniel, whether we're speaking of the man himself or of the divinely inspired book that bears his name, has been a source of inspiration for all sorts of people. Matter of fact, you even look at some of Daniel's own contemporaries. Now think about men like Ezekiel, and this was a man that paid a tremendous amount of honor to Daniel. We go to places like Ezekiel chapter 14, verse number 14, and verse number 20, which bears record of the same information that you find in verse number 14. And Ezekiel is mentioning the fact that whenever the God of heaven sets his hand against a nation, because of that nation's defiance of his will, because of that nation's being steeped in idolatry, because of that nation's immorality, the Bible says that there is no one that can turn back the hand of God. And he goes on to mention three men. He says Noah, Daniel, and Job. Even these three men wouldn't be able to do it. They would only be able to spare themselves and their righteousness. And so what a beautiful compliment as Ezekiel looks at Job and Noah and Daniel in contradistinction to the unfaithfulness and the disobedience of some of the nations that God had to deal with at that particular time. I think about Matthias ben Yohanan. You might know him better as the father of Judas Maccabees. And in the historical books of the Maccabees, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, which bear record of the Jewish revolt against the Seleucid Empire and the tyrannical reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, we find that Matthias would utilize the book of Daniel as a rallying cry of sorts to cause the people to be able to stand up for themselves against this tyrannical reign. He mentions in the book of 1 Maccabees, the second chapter, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, who were saved out of the flame. He also mentions Daniel, who for his innocence was saved from the mouth of lions. Absolutely magnificent that men, even 300, 400 years later, we'll look back to the book of Daniel as wonderful inspiration. But not only that, we find that some 500 years after the book of Daniel was written, even the Hebrews writer makes reference to it. And of course, we know that this reference carries much more weight than the one that we just mentioned. But in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrews writer, he's trying to incite some faithfulness in the Christians of the first century who were suffering persecution at the hands of the Jews. And one of the methods that he uses is to go back and look at the heroes of the Hall of Faith. He mentions men like Seth, men like Enoch, men like Noah, men like Abraham and Moses, women like Sarah. And he looks at these people as motivation for the first century Christian to stay strong, continue to be faithful to God. Once he gets down to verse number 32, he says, "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and of the prophets,
who through faith, listen to what they did, they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, along with escaping the edge of the sword, and out of weakness they were made strong, they waxed valiant in fight, they turned to flight the armies of the aliens. The Bible says that they stopped the mouths of lions, that they quenched the fires of violence. Friends, this is no doubt a reference to the book of Daniel and to some of the events of the lives of Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Even our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 15, places the proverbial seal of approval on the book of Daniel. See, the book of Daniel has faced a lot of criticism over the years. Matter of fact, for some 1,700 years, men have been extremely critical of the book of Daniel because of its wonderful predictive prophecy. Men have drawn the conclusion that there's no way that the book of Daniel could have been written when it says that it was in the 6th century B.C. because of the fact that the prophecies of the book are so precise. But the fact of the matter is, our Lord Jesus Christ says that Daniel was a prophet. And he refers to some of the things that you find in the prophecy of Daniel in the book of Matthew chapter 24 in verse number 15. And so we look at Daniel. Daniel has survived the onslaught of criticism, both ancient and modern. And friends, it shines forth as a canonical jewel through which God teaches us innumerable and invaluable lessons that pertain both to life and godliness. And the first one of those who will observe in this series of lessons is the fact that in the book of Daniel, we learn about the favor, the fairness, and the furtherance of the faithful. Daniel chapter 1, we invite you to turn with us there. In Daniel chapter 1, verse number 1, we're given the setting or the context of the book of Daniel. It was the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah. The Bible teaches us that Nebuchadnezzar came and began to besiege the city of Jerusalem. Secondly, history tells us that this would have taken place subsequent to Nebuchadnezzar's battle up at Carchemish, which would be to the north of Israel. In this battle, Nebuchadnezzar defeated the almighty Assyrians along with their partners or allies at that particular time, the Egyptians. After this battle took place, Nebuchadnezzar would then go south into Israel. He would begin to besiege places like Jerusalem. And then secular history also tells us that during that time, after he began the siege of Jerusalem, that he got word that his father, Nabopolassar, had died. He was the king of Babylon at that time. And so out of necessity, Nebuchadnezzar leaves that siege. He goes back to Babylon to assume the throne. Well, during this time, the scriptures also teach us that he took captives from Judah, from young boys of the king's lineage, if you will. And among these young boys were men like Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. These were children in whom there was no blemish. The Bible says they were well favored. They were skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and had ability. And the king wanted them to stand and minister before him personally. Well, one thing that Nebuchadnezzar does is he takes these young men and he wants to take them through a three-year grooming period in which he would feed them with all of his meat and the king's delicacies and the wine which he drank. Well, friends, this presented a problem for Daniel and Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael. Apparently, there was something that Nebuchadnezzar had set before them to eat that would have violated the law of Moses. We understand, we go back to the law of Moses, and God had given the people dietary laws that were for, of course, their own good, for their health and their well-being. And so there were animals that God named unclean that they could not eat. And apparently some of these animals were numbered among the meats that Nebuchadnezzar set before them. They couldn't eat it and be faithful to the will of God. And so the Bible teaches us something tremendous. It teaches us in verse number 8 of Daniel chapter 1 that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Friends, therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now let's think about that just for a moment. Daniel was someone who was determined to stay faithful to God, and as a result, the Bible teaches us that he found favor. Friends, in God's eyes, most importantly, but not only that, favor in the eyes of men. What a beautiful concept. Friends, God expects us to remain faithful to him at any cost. He expects us to remain faithful to him, and he lets us know in places like the book of Daniel that there will be wonderful rewards if we are willing to do so. Far too often, Christians refuse to be faithful to God because of the fact they think they might miss out on something, that they might miss some type of secular reward. I've seen men that refuse to be faithful to God because they feel like they might miss out on a promotion at work, or they might miss out on a raise or something of that sort. I've seen women who refuse to be faithful to God because they might fall out of favor with their in-laws, the family of their husband, or someone of this nature. The book of Daniel stands forth to teach us that, friends, it's never wrong to remain faithful to God. And there is reward within that. The first reward is that of the favor of God and that of men. Matter of fact, when we take a look at the Bible and its doctrine on the favor or the grace of God, the Bible teaches us that that is something that is appropriated, in fact, through faithfulness to God. We go back to the book of Genesis. And friends, we look at places like Genesis chapter 6, where the Bible teaches us that God was prepared to destroy the world in a flood because of its wickedness, because of the fact that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he decided he was going to destroy the world. But verse number 8, the Bible teaches us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, you ask the question, how did Noah find favor or grace in the eyes of God? Well, friends, it was by remaining faithful to him. The Bible says in verse number 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Noah was just. The Bible says Noah was perfect in his generations. The Bible teaches us that Noah walked with God. That is how he found favor in God. The Genesis writer, he highlights and punctuates these points in places like Genesis chapter 6, verse number 22, where the Bible teaches us that Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Verse number 5, likewise, he repeats, Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Friends, the way that we appropriate the grace of God is through faithfulness. That's what the Bible teaches us, not only in the Old Testament, but we go over to the New Testament. And friends, we find the same truth. In the book of Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, the Apostle Paul reminds us that the grace of God, which brings salvation, has appeared unto all men. So God's grace, his favor, is available, the Bible says, unto all men. But friends, we understand that that grace is appropriated. It is given to us by means of faithfulness. Look at verse number one, of Romans chapter 5. Paul says there, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, listen to this, by faith, that is the Greek word pistis or pistuo, it means literally obedient trust in the Lord, conjoined with obedience. The Bible says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How do we have access to the grace of God, to the favor of God? Through faith, through obedient trust. Daniel teaches us this beautiful truth. Here's a young man along with his companions who realize that it would be a violation of the Lord's will to eat the things that were set before them. And it's amazing. The scripture says that they requested not to eat it. It always amazes me. Sometimes we deal here with the fact that there are men who perpetually are unfaithful to the worship services, perhaps because of a job or something of that nature. And sometimes I'll simply ask them, have you not asked to be able to be off on Sunday morning so that you can worship God according to his dictates in the scriptures? Have you not asked to be able to be off on Wednesday night so that you can participate in the Wednesday night Bible class for your spiritual growth? Have you not asked? And you'd be amazed at how many times these men have not even thought to go and ask for these times off. The Bible says that Daniel requested that he not have to violate the will of God. What an awesome example for us. He found favor because he refused to do what he knew that he was not supposed to do. And think about Daniel's position. Daniel was not necessarily a man of prominence at this point. The Bible says that he did find favor in the eyes of the prince of the eunuchs. And no doubt this is because of his character and because of his godliness. But keep in mind that the context of this account, Daniel is a slave. For all practical purposes, he is a numbered among a conquered people. He's a eunuch. He's a youth. Friends, he realizes that if he does not do what Nebuchadnezzar wants him to do, that he's also a prospect for death. And yet still, he remains faithful to God in defiance of the king's will. And the Bible teaches us in places like Acts chapter 14, verse number 19, and Acts chapter 5, verse number 29, that whenever the laws of man come in conflict with the will of God, friends, it's better for us to obey the will of God. It's God that we'll have standing in judgment before one of these days, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse number 10. Friends, Daniel realized that he was a child of the Almighty God. And if we were to assign one particular theme to the book of Daniel, it would be the sovereignty of God. The fact that God reigns supreme, that he is sovereign over all the affairs of life, both of his children and of those who are not his children, of individuals and of kingdoms. He is sovereign. Daniel realizes this, and he relies upon the sovereign power of his God. And he remains faithful to him. What a beautiful, beautiful example that he sets before us. And so the Bible teaches us that Daniel found favor. That he found favor as a result of his faithfulness. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. The Bible teaches us in verse number 9 of Daniel chapter 1. And of course we understand that Daniel was in favor with God. Well, what's the long story short here? Well, Daniel says, for 10 days, allow us just to eat vegetables and drink water. And at the end of that 10 days, take a look at us. And he's talking here to Melzar, the captain of the eunuchs that the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. They say, let us eat vegetables, drink water for 10 days, and then observe our countenance, our appearance, and compare us to the other children. Kind of reluctantly, Melzar did so, and he realized that, you know, his life could be in danger for doing this as well. But he did so, and at the end of 10 days, Daniel, the Bible says, and his companions, well, look at what the Bible says. The Bible says they looked fairer and fatter. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. And so the next thing that we look at here is the fact that when men are faithful to God, not only do they fall into God's favor, but friends, fairness. And this is a Hebraism, if you will, a euphemism for healthiness. Health is a beautiful benefit of that. I consider passages like the book of Proverbs. And we look in Proverbs chapter 3. And we begin there around verse number 5. And the Bible teaches us something about this particular matter. The Bible says in verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. What is the benefits of that, Solomon? Verse number 8, it shall be health unto thy navel, and marrow unto thy bones. What is God saying? He's saying that being faithful to him is conducive to good health. Now don't misunderstand what we're saying this morning. It's not the case always that those who are faithful to God will always experience 100% pristine and perfect health all the time. We know that's not the case. We know that death and the events that lead up to it are a result of the sin that men have committed. None of us are exempt from that. The sin that Adam introduced into this world introduced death into this world. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. There's nothing we can do about that. But the Bible does teach the principle that our faithfulness to God is conducive to our health, not only spiritually, but also physically. And certainly we see this to be the case with Daniel. We think about some of the pandemics that are taking place among men right now. Probably one of the most popular ones, one that's of most notoriety, is the pandemic of HIV/AIDS. The UN population researchers have predicted that in just a few years, in 2025, there will be 90 to 100 million cases of HIV/AIDS in Africa. They predict there will be 31 million in India, 18 million in China, again, by 2025. Absolutely amazing. Friends, we realize that this is a disease. A lot of people don't want to hear this. But this is a virus, a disease that runs rampant among those who participate in the immoral lifestyle of homosexuality. That's just the facts. People don't want to hear it. We're not saying that every case is isolated to those who participate in homosexuality, but the vast majority do. And of them, they are. And so, again, that's just the statistical facts of the matter. We find Daniel doing what it was that God commanded them to do by way of dietary laws, and it was conducive to their health. Finally, we look at the fact that there's furtherance of the faithful. What do we mean when we say furtherance? Well, the fact that Daniel existed in the Babylonian Empire for the 70 years of its duration. He was part of it, and whenever we see that Babylonian regime being overturned by the collaboration of the Medes and the Persians, the Bible teaches us that Daniel is still there. In fact, this is summarized for us in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 21. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. And so we see furtherance. Again, a lot of times it's the case that we think it's people that are going to miss out on the joys of life and on the wonderful blessings that are provided for us. If we stay faithful to God, we don't want to miss out on those things. God says, in fact, it is just the opposite. It's just the opposite. Lives that are lived in faithful servitude and devotion to God are much more replete with beautiful blessings than a life that is lived otherwise. We've seen so many people that have pierced themselves through with so many sorrows, and a lot of times because of the lifestyles that they're living. Plain and simple, that's the facts of the matter. Not always the case. I understand there are exceptions to that rule, but many times it simply is the case. If we're looking for furtherance, friends, who better to be loyal to than the sovereign God of heaven? Daniel understood this. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, they understood this. Our God is sovereign. Friends, our God is the God of our employers. Our God is the God of our family members. Our God is a sovereign God over our neighbors. Our God is a sovereign God over our legislators, our lawmakers. Our God is our sovereign God over all of the political figures in our lives. Friends, who better to be faithful to rely upon than the great and wonderful and all-powerful God of heaven?
He is Lord.